The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ,
Sonora. And good morning, and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, as she does every morning, is my wife, Ann Fella, who's Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance, also at A&T Healthcare. And say good morning to our listening audience at WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you. Fantastic. Today's show, we're going to be talking about, as you know, February has many designations, but today's program, we're going to be talking about eating disorders. We'll go into all the different details. I'd like to welcome everyone to WTBQ, and I'd like to thank you for taking your time as far as letting us be a part of your Thursday mornings. A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency with offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare are honored to be broadcasting every Thursday on health-related topics and subjects. That's what we say we'll be covering today is eating disorder and because of February. That's one of the designated months to bring awareness to eating disorders. And as I like to say, we are not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. We're engaging, informative, and I want to say entertaining. That's always something that's very important, that you can always learn something and enjoy doing it. It doesn't have to be tedious or laborious, but we are very happy to be here on sharing your Thursday morning. WTBQ. Facebook is going very big, and we spoke to Andrew. Well over 2,000. That's good.
Yeah.
I remember I was cheering when we broke the 200 barrier. Now we're at 2,000, and I just think we really have to do more. But as I said, it's very informative. We have the information. We have archived our radio shows that have been on, and you can pick up on the different topics. A&T Healthcare, I'll give you my update on my knee replacement is doing quite well, and I think it's always important that you remember A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency, and a lot of times people don't realize, you know, well, I don't need home healthcare, but there's always going to be a time where someone may be admitted into the hospital, maybe unexpected even, or something like that, although I knew my knee replacement, I knew when I was having that done, but sometimes things unexpected happens, and it's always something that you keep in mind that A&T Healthcare can provide the services. We've talked so often on this show about the switch in the paradigm, the healthcare delivery system paradigm, in the sense that you're in the hospital and what you have to be discharged to the hospital a lot sooner. I don't want to say that you're being discharged sooner and sicker, but the idea is you are being discharged sooner. And what's always important is that when you are in the home care setting, that your proper care is being continued so that you don't be readmitted into the hospital. I think that's one of the worst things that can happen. You'd be discharged from a hospital, and then 2 weeks later, you wind up being readmitted. And having a home healthcare agency present at that time will make sure that all the follow-up and, you know, the proper testing and medications and things that were ordered, you know, if you're being discharged from the hospital, that they are in fact being followed through on. And that's always an important thing to remember about. Real quickly, I'm gonna jump out a little bit. I know we're always talking about healthy living and that sort of stuff, but I did have my birthday last Saturday, and I just want to give a shout out to Gallagher Steakhouse, and Adam was the one that took care of us. But it really was very enjoyable. I won't say what I had because it was not truly healthy eating, but I have to say it was my birthday. And as we always say, you know, you can slip off a little bit. But I'm just amazed about the technology. We was in the city, and all of a sudden they had my phone. I had a text message. They said, well, hurry up and finish your drink. Your table's almost ready. And it was uncanny because we were across the street at Rosie O'Grady's, and we're getting this message. How did they know what we were doing?
They found it. Felt
a little eerie, but I'm trying to think about the technology in the nursing field. Like, I'm sure they have this technology that someone will say, take your 10 o'clock med or take your 12 o'clock meds, or don't forget.
There is an app for that.
So these are, you know, the technology. We're always amazed by it. However, a lot of times it can be very beneficial. Let me see. I wanted to say this was in the paper on Good Samaritan Hospital in the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. This is in Suffern, New York. I know we have, you know, but what it is that there's a free woman's health screening for uninsured or underinsured women ages 40 to 64. Okay, it's going to be February 24th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And as I said, it's Good Samaritan Hospital. You have to RSVP, and the phone number is 1-855-277-4482. But you can even just check Good Samaritan Hospital, program, your WMC Health, and you can have like more information. It is always very important, and that's one of the things that we stress, is that screening is very important, because when we talk about a diagnosis and we talk about a prognosis, the diagnosis is really what the disease that you are being diagnosed with, you know, be it, you know, cancer. The prognosis is what the outcome, the expected outcome. And one of the things that always has to be stressed is that the sooner you come up with the diagnosis, the better the prognosis is, because you can start do some kind of intervention that would be involved, and that also would have a better outcome. So, as I said, there's the free women healthcare screening for uninsured or underinsured women ages 40 to 64, but call up for some of that information. Real quickly, I don't know, Anna, I think we were talking about having this as a possible, segment each time about the Zika virus update. One of the things to remember is that there was an article about the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and it was, this is quoted on Thomas Fried, and he is the director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and I worked with him many years ago back in the early 90s when I worked at St. Clair's Hospital. We're doing tuberculosis control, but they're saying that right now they're finding the strongest link yet between the virus and birth defects that have stricken developing fetuses. Okay, so there's very strong correlation with that. And one of the things, just to go over, this is the update, and I always am amazed when they do stuff like this, when they talk about what they do know and what they don't know, okay? I just want to go over what they do know is that the Zika can spread from a mother to her fetus during pregnancy. Also, the infection during pregnancy may be linked to birth defects in babies. And also, the Zika is spread mostly by the bite of an infected Aedes species mosquito. Okay, that's the proper pronunciation for it. It's spelled capital A-E-D-E-S, and it's pronounced 80s, like we're on WTBQ. Think of hits of the 80s, but that's how it's presented. it's hits of the 80s, you know, but 80s, it's with an A, and that's a specific mosquito where it's transmitted, and the mosquitoes are aggressive daytime biters. However, they do it sometimes in the nighttime. The other thing that we know about is that the Zika is not currently found in the United States. The mosquitoes that carry the Zika are found in some areas of the United States. And here they're saying because the mosquitoes that spread Zika viruses are found throughout the tropics, outbreaks will likely continue. And then the last one we've been talking about is that there's no vaccine or medication for the Zika virus, and it's something that they are working on. But as you all know, it's not going to be done overnight. It's going to be something to be done very quickly, or not very quickly, it'd be like several years. This is what they don't know, okay? Those are the things that they know. This is what they don't know. If there's a safe time during your pregnancy to travel to an area with Zika, okay? They don't know. They know some doctors in the paper, they're saying don't travel. The other one is if you do travel and are bitten, how likely you are to get the Zika virus, and how likely it is that your body will have your baby will have a birth defect from the infection. Okay, so those are the ones that are coming in. It's one of the things that you don't know about, and as I said, this is not the same as the HIV virus, but there is a lot of statistical information where if someone were to have a needle stick or come in contact with the HIV virus that it gets into your blood system, it could be anywhere from 0.05% that you might contract the HIV virus. However, for the hepatitis B, it could be as high as 33% if you had a puncture wound and the person was infected with the hepatitis B organism, that it could be transmitted to you. So again, this is something that they're not sure. They don't know. They know the mode of transmission, but they don't know how often it is. If you did get bit by a mosquito, Is that going to mean something or not mean something? So we have a lot that's lots that's going on. So you're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella. And when we come back, we will be talking about eating disorders.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hey, polka fans, it's Nat the Cat inviting you to join me for an hour of polka fun each and every Sunday morning. For the very best in polkas, waltzes, and obedics, join us at 10 a.m. for the Natalie Gabala Polka Fun Show, Sundays, and it's all here on TBQ.
WTBQ.
And feeling all right. Welcome back to Health Matters. The nurses are in. That's it. The nurses are in. We are ready. This is Health Matters. A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency. We have offices throughout the Hudson Valley area, including New York City, as well as New Jersey.
Yes, A&T Healthcare is a home care agency. We can provide nurses, home health aides, and personal care aides. A&T has been around for 31 years.
Wow.
And it was actually started by two nurses who wanted to provide quality of care to people in their home. We can provide daily personal care aides or home health aides. We also have private duty nursing. Daily personal care needs can be met by the home health aide and personal care aide, as well as light housekeeping, shopping, errands, things like that. We do train our home health aides and personal care aides.
So we know, and I'm the instructor, and they have to do it my way, you know, and that's it. But that's
the
good way.
But we also hire people who already have their certificate. So if you have a home health aide certificate or a personal care aide certificate or a CNA certificate, we can also help you to get a personal care aide certificate. We have a class starting in Newburgh next month, so you could call Natalia or Kelly at 561-7900 and talk about, you know, how you could become a personal care aide or home health aide. Right now the class is a personal care aide class. Correct?
That's right. Correct. Correct. That's good. Yeah, we have all the different variations. But it is important. I always just keep it there. Like, think about, like, A&T, as I said, you know, many times when I do the marketing, I don't need home care. No, really, people don't necessarily need home care, but if things happen or what have you, you may need home care. And that's one of the things that's so important is that we do, we're part of the community. We strive to be the absolute best. And we also are giving you this program that we have the different topics. And today's topic we're going to be talking about is eating disorders. As you know, as we said earlier, February is Eating Disorder Month. And one of the driving forces, as they always say in Health Matters, is that we want to educate and inform our WTBQ listening audience. Okay, now this topic may not be as mainstream as you may think of, unlike diabetes or heart disease. However, there have been numerous actors and actresses that have been afflicted with this disease at some time during their lives. There are specific professions where there's more of a risk. They include like athletic athletes,
really?
Modelings, and even dancers. I know with my dancing, you know, there are certain things that those are attributes that are that they look for in those particular professions.
That they're thin or
yes, that you know that they don't gain weight, that they keep it. We all know about with the modeling, and that sort of stuff. But mm-hmm. it really is something that is very prevalent. Let me just give some statistics, Anne, if you don't mind at this time. These are the eating disorder statistics. As many as 20 million women and 10 million men experience an eating disorder at some point in their lives. That's what I'm saying. There's like a long list of it. Even like Lady Gaga, she sang at the Super Bowl, but she also had a bout where she was anorexic, where she was just not eating properly and that sort of stuff because she was trying to break into the business, and those were all the things that were happening. But here's like the average age that eating disorders begin. They say anorexia nervosa at 19 years of age, bulimia nervosa 20 years old, and then binge eating disorder are 25 years old. So as we have, but one of the things to remember about, like what causes someone to develop an eating disorder is that they state that there's no one cause of an eating disorder. Eating disorder may develop as a result of a combination of biological, psychological, social, and family issues. So sometimes you may have this perfect storm that's happening, but those are things that that can absolutely happen. One of the other things that we always know about this, and then we talk about society and culture, is that, the media in today's society is filled with images that skew the definition of a healthy body, okay? Like there was, various studies, girls and boys as young as 4 and 5, they recognize that an unhealthy image of thinness in mass media and are portrayed as ideal, okay? So they think, gee, this is where you have to be able to look like this, and those are things that really aren't true. And we will be discussing it also is that men also suffer from eating disorder, though it seems to be more prevalent among women. However, men do in fact have it.
Right. It looks like it's double in women than men.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just been a lot. So, and let's talk a little bit about what is anorexia nervosa.
Okay. Well, what is anorexia nervosa? Anorexia nervosa is a complex eating disorder. It has three key features: refusal to maintain a healthy body weight, an intense fear of gaining weight, and a distorted body image. It's only human to wish that you look different or you could fix something about yourself. We all are like that, I think. We always are looking at our bodies, our face, our gait, our everything, what we do. And we're always looking to maybe look a little bit different or fix something about ourselves. But when we're preoccupied with it, with being thin, it takes over our eating habits.
That's important to note, and in the sense that people everyone says, "Yeah, I wish I had a little bit of like to lose weight or something like that," and we'll go over like the differences.
Right.
But the key thing is that when it becomes an obsession and it starts to consume your life,
right? When you have anorexia nervosa, your desire to lose weight becomes more important than anything else in your life. It's all you think about. And it can be very serious then.
And I do know, like, I have worked in my years as a registered nurse. Every so often at Nyack Hospital, I did have a patient who had suffered from that. And when I say she suffered from that, is that because she had been such an extreme thing, she was having, like, physical problems with her electrolytes as far as her balance and
right.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember, just kind of like what Ann just said, is that when I walked in, every other sentence was something about eating, about food. Well, how do we know this? How do we have this? And those were the questions. Do you have to have the thing? And that's all that it was totally consumed. The conversation was about what they were eating and that sort of
right,
stuff.
Right, because you can even lose your ability to see yourself who you truly are, and you become obsessed with this, and you don't recognize that you're thin, and you think you should be thinner, and it really takes over your thought process. So,
okay, there are two kinds of anorexia, Andy. You want to go over the two of them?
There are two types of anorexia. One is anorexia nervosa, which is the first one that you mentioned that is usually begins around 19. There's a restricting type of anorexia, a weight loss that is achieved by restricting calories, such as following drastic diets, fasting, exercising to excess.
Yeah, and one of the things that would happen is if, let's say, they just had two carrot sticks or something like that. I'm giving it an extreme. They'd have like two carrot sticks.
And that was enough.
And then they said, gee, now I have to do 10 jumping jacks or have to do 10 sit-ups because I had two carrots. Right. So it was just, too much of an extreme.
Or I ate, a carrot stick and a celery stick yesterday, so today I'll fast.
Mm-hmm. And that's what is it. And even just as far as like overdoing it in sense of,
So it's extreme. It's not just regular dieting. It's extreme, dieting or drastic diets. And then there's the purging type of anorexia, weight loss that is achieved through vomiting or use of laxatives and diuretics. So you eat, but then you purge it. You get rid of it before you can digest it can be absorbed into your...
Right, and then we'll talk about that with the bulimia. The key thing to remember about anorexia is that it's not about weight and food. We're going to go over like some of the myths and stuff, but what it is that it isn't about the food and the weight. A lot of times with eating disorders, more complicated is that the food and the weight related issues are symptoms of something deeper, things like depression, loneliness, insecurity, pressure to be perfect, or feeling out of control, and things that no amount of dieting or weight can cure. And like that's one of the things about being in control of something. It's like they feel that they may have things in their life that they're not able to deal with or having trouble dealing with, but then they say, well, this is one thing I can control. I can control what I'm consuming, what I am eating, and that's something that, by losing the weight, they say this is just something that they have control. But as I said, there are a lot of other factors that play into it. I know we talked about different addictions. I know with the gambling addiction is that there's something that they need this kind of thing in their life as far as doing it. And as I said, there's not one specific thing, as I said earlier, but the idea is it probably is like a combination of it.
Right.
Let's just talk a little bit, Ann, about the differences between dieting and anorexia, okay? Like there's two extremes, but like dieting, we always hear that. And a lot of times they say you should never use that word dieting because that's going to set you up for failure. But let's give a couple of examples, Ann, about like healthy dieting and how it compares to anorexia.
Well, healthy dieting is an attempt to control your weight or lose weight gradually so that you can keep it off and be healthy. Anorexia dieting is an attempt to control your life and emotions. So one is to actually control your weight. The other one is really to control your life and emotions. So that's two different things.
Right, right. And it's always is important, like we do talk about like healthy, dieting and eating. That's always an important thing. But here it'd be like too much of an extreme.
Right. Healthy dieting is your self-esteem is based on more than just your weight and body image.
Wow. Yeah.
And with anorexia, your self-esteem is based entirely on how much you weigh and how thin you are.
So that's the big thing. We talk about like self-esteem. It's very important, like, how you are in life, your family. Those are a lot of a multitude of things that go into your life that are important to you, your job, your family. However, with anorexia, it's just how much you weigh and how thin you are. So you can see that big distinction.
In healthy dieting, you view weight loss as a way to improve your health and appearance. In anorexia, you view your weight loss as a way to achieve happiness.
Oh boy, that's
a total turnaround.
Total. That's always good. You want to look good to see how it is, but then you just view your loss as a way to achieve happiness. And so often, you're not going to get it from that.
Of course, right. If when you're losing weight and you're dieting, you're improving your health, your appearance. And yes, you're happier, usually.
Yeah.
But with anorexia, that is your goal. In healthy dieting, your goal is to lose weight in a healthy way. In anorexia, becoming thin is all that matters, health is not a concern.
And that unfortunately happens, and that's what I said about the several patients that I have taken care of in my years as a registered nurse, that you know, they wound up being admitted into the hospital because of problems with the extreme weight loss that they have and not having a healthy diet and, you know, taking these diuretics or taking different kinds of laxative or anything like to clear your body of.
Because this isn't just making you thin. This is affecting all your systems,
mm-hmm.
your digestive system, your renal system, your kidneys, and this affects your heart and your liver and your brain if you're not getting enough nutrients.
No, and that's always important that we talk about, and I teach this in our PCA classes that we have in the HHA class, home health care aid classes, is about how nutrition is such a major component in the healthy recovery of someone who's going through an illness or if they have surgery. And a lot of times, you know, nutrition was always in the back burner. However, now it's getting moved up a lot quicker because that's what they're finding out is that you really, when your body has surgery of some sort, or if you have some illness, okay, your body needs energy. It has to replenish itself. And that's really how it is as far as like with the diet, having a healthy diet. Whereas, you know, if you're losing all this weight, and that's something where it's not going to, it's not really a healthy way of doing it.
Right.
Okay, do you have any of these signs and symptoms, Anne, as far as like what anorexic food behavior signs and symptoms? This is something that you might be able to identify.
Well, some of the symptoms might be not maintaining body weight at or above a minimal normal weight based on age and height. So you're always thin, you know. You're thinking that you need to get thinner, and your body weight is not maintained at a normal weight. You have intense fear of weight gain, even when underweight. Disturbance in a way that the body of your body weight and shape is experienced. Undue influence on body weight or shape. On self-evaluation or even denial that you are thin. You know, you're denying that. So some of the behavior signs and symptoms would be dieting despite being thin, obsession with calories. And yes, when you're dieting, you're thinking about counting calories and reading the labels. And we do that. We should be doing that on a normal basis as well. Some people pretend to eat or lie about eating. Yes, I ate already. Oh, I don't need to eat. I ate already. A preoccupation with food, which you mentioned.
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
were caring for someone, they always talked about food.
Right,
Even though they weren't eating, they were obsessed with, you know, talking about it and thinking about it. And being secretive about food rituals. Maybe not eating around others because they didn't want you to see what you're eating. Maybe chewing food and spitting it out, or you know,
right.
just to
no,
get that
no, the,
pleasure sensation but not actually eating it. So.
But I mean, like there are so many ways in which that's done, and I think what's important, like just to go over like some of the names they said that I went through the list, but Diane Keaton had, as they said, they were impacted at some time during their life. Not that they have it right now, but Diane Keaton was a person that was afflicted with this eating disorder. Katie Couric, Meredith Vieira, a lot of times they were saying that they were trying to get into the field, and that was the driving force. And then Calissa Flockhart, am I saying her name correctly? She was the one that's been from Ally McBeal, and she's been dating Harrison Ford for a long time. Did they get married?
Well, I have no idea.
I'm not sure. But I always remember that on Ally McBeal, she was like very thin. And one of the things that she said is that was one of their mantras that they had throughout the show is that, you know, you can never be too thin. You can never be too thin. And that was something that really had just like played into it. You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about eating disorders. Listen to Health Matters.
A&T UNT Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. ANT Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, ANT Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
Hi, this is Professor Richard Hull, host of the Warwick Historical Society's weekly show, History Alive. Tune in every Monday at 11:05 to learn how history is your past, present, and future. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ!
We have sunny skies today and our highs in the low to mid 30s. Tonight, clear and cold, down to 5 to 10. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with a high in the mid 30s. There may be some light snow tomorrow night, down to near 30. And morning snow and rain showers give way to some sunshine on Saturday. It turns much warmer, heading up to around 50. This is meteorologist Tony Salimo at the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fellum, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fellum, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. That's A&T Healthcare. Please do not confuse us with AT&T. I think we had that story. I remember I said a couple of times someone called up. They said they wanted to pay their bill. I said, excuse me, you want to pay the bill? Yes. Well, aren't you AT&T in the phone company? No, we're A&T. So they went to that extreme. So as I said, it's A&T, named after the two nurses that had starred Antoinette and, of course, Tony Babington. That's where we get the A&T from. All right, well, we're on Health Matters, and we're talking about, for February, eating disorder is one of the illnesses that they want to make people aware of, and that's what we're talking about today. We've started on anorexia nervosa, and one of the things that I wanted to go over, I said that I've had, you know, some experience as far as caring for individuals with it, but just so you can get some idea about the effects on your whole body, is that, you know, when you are suffering from this particular illness, your hair thins, it gets brittle, your heart, you have low blood pressure, slow heart rate and fluttering of the heart, you know, palpitations or heart failure, your blood becomes anemic and other blood problems, and your muscle and joints, you have weak muscles, swollen joints, fractures, and osteoporosis. I mean, these are all the things that happen when you're not eating properly, or you're not, you know, and you're...
Well, you're depriving your body of good nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So it is affecting everything, your entire body, not just how you look or how you feel, you know, how you think you feel or you think you should feel, or your emotion. It's affecting every system in your body.
Right, right.
And some of these can be, you know, irreversible.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, like, I always remember with Karen Carpenter, I mean, she will remember her from the Carpenter, and she had died from that. She took it to such an extreme. I think she weighed something like 80 pounds when she had died. And, you know, that's an extreme example. But as I said, many people have been afflicted by it at some time during their life. And but as I said, if you don't do something about it, it can be problematic. Steps to anorexia recovery?
Yes. Well, you know, as in anything, you have to admit you have a problem.
That's what we always said about any kind of substance abuse, gambling addiction. You have to, hey, yes, right. I have a problem.
Right. And you have to talk to someone. And there is someone, I'm sure, that you can talk to, whether it's a family member, a friend, a doctor, or even a counselor, even a school counselor or a teacher that you can talk to. If you keep it a secret, it's going to be, you know, harder. Stay away from people, places, and activities that trigger your obsession. And, you know, sometimes young girls become friends with someone who have a similar disorder. And, you know, you're actually encouraging each other then. Right, to, right.
Yeah, they said the same thing with the gambling. You know, you don't be hanging out with people. Right, let's gamblers. Go to Atlantic City. Let's go to
Mohegan Sun. Or if people make you feel bad about your body image, maybe that person you shouldn't, you know, be with. So you definitely have to think about that. And seek professional help. It's there. It's available. You can speak to your personal physician even.
Right, you know, and that's important to remember as part of, like, sometimes that you have to remember that individuals that suffer from this, and again, there's a lot of a psychological component on it, is that they don't think that there's a problem. Like, if they were to look at a sandwich, they say, oh my God, look at that sandwich, how big it is. It could have two slices of cheese on it or something like that. Or even if they were to look in the mirror and you could see the bones, it's, oh gosh, I'm so heavy. And it's all distorted how they
right,
see
the
something.
Right, the image is not. They're not seeing the image that we see.
Right, right. That's what. So if people are saying, gee, you know, you look very thin, and you know, like what's causing it? Is there something that's, you know, a lot of times that can be a reason that something is you know, of cancer. I know something. That's one
right,
time
right.
You're eating regular and then you're losing weight. That could be right. You know, something else. But the idea is that if you are doing too much. And you're losing it, and particularly over a quick period of time, there are a lot of side effects. But that's one of the things that I always found is that not only are they talking about it all the time, but they're saying to you, wait a second, this doesn't look right. This doesn't look right at all. So always remember that. That's an important thing to remember is that, you know, they don't see it that way. They say, oh, my gosh, like look at this sandwich, or I can't eat this. All right. And let's talk a little bit now on bulimia nervosa. What is bulimia? Okay, we've all had the ideas, but what specifically is it?
Well, bulimia is an eating disorder that's more characterized by frequent episodes of binge eating. So you might go without eating and then you'll eat everything. And then, you know, you have frantic efforts at that point to avoid gaining weight, and then, you know, you're purging, or mm-hmm. you're taking laxatives, or you're, and when I say purging, I mean making yourself vomit mm-hmm. Is one of those.
And what's that med that you always have, I forget that.
Epicac.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, that's one of the things, and I remember when Karen Carpenter died, they had such high levels of it in her body. I know that's always something if someone had, you know, consume, and you never do this. If a child consumes some poison, you always call it the poison center. But back in the old days, you said, well, you may induce vomiting, and that was the way in which you would do it. But again, that's not the rule of thumb now anymore.
Well, I you know, and people who are doing this, they're overeating. It's like a compulsion. And then instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that again. We just had the holidays, not too long ago, and we've all overeaten, right? But we're not punishing ourselves for it. But this is like punishing yourself for it. Well, now you overeat, so now you have to get rid of it.
Right,
and,
right.
So, and it's this constant back and forth.
Yeah, I remember Elton John, who I really always enjoyed him, but he did suffer from a bulimia. And I always thought the one part that he said that always stuck in my mind is that he would consume a tremendous amount of food, and then he would purge himself. But then he remembered him saying that he had no feeling of hunger. And I know so often when people are afraid of dieting is that they say, oh, gee, wait a second. You know, you're dieting, you know, I'm having the hunger pains. That's what I don't want to have. That's what I don't want to have. Unfortunately, it doesn't actually help. So the way it works, this is like the cycle that they talk about, is that you may have tension and cravings, okay, then you binge eating, but just consume a tremendous amount of food, and then you purge to avoid weight gain, and then you have the shame and disgust, and then, you know, then you go to, like, strict dieting, so you go, like, up and down, back and forth, but as you know, like, there are a lot of things that can really impact on your body, and one of the things that's interesting about it is that purging does not prevent weight gain. Like people think, gee, I've consumed the food and then I've thrown up, so I'm not going to get any calories from what I have. But the reality is that when you eat, digestion starts as soon as you bite into the food. But what they're saying is that purging isn't effective at getting rid of calories, which is why most people suffer from bulimia end up gaining weight over time, is that when you vomit immediately after eating, you only eliminate about 50% of the calories consumed at best. So you have to remember that you're getting rid of 50% of the calories. However, you might have consumed four times the normal amount of something that you would have. And that's because the absorption begins at the moment you put the food in your mouth. And then when they talk about like the laxatives and diuretics, they're even less effective. And, you know, just as far as like getting it, that you may weight loss after you take them, but, you know, it's not going to be prevalent. I always remember when people would go to the gym and they'd use a sauna, okay? And, you know, if you've ever used a sauna,
it feels good,
but
it's cleansing.
You have all like the sweat and the perspiration, and you think, gee, look at all the weight, like I'm losing, like I did all this exercise.
That's water loss.
That's water loss, exactly. And what happens is that when you have your first glass of water, everything you lost just came right back. So
it's not effective for weight loss, but people, you know, using the sauna to detoxify, you know, just cleanse your pores, and it's good. That's good, but to think that you're going to use the sauna to keep that weight off isn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about binge eating signs and symptoms, okay? These are the signs and symptoms.
Right, lack of control over eating. Inability to stop eating to the point where even when you're in physical discomfort and pain. Secrecy. Going to the kitchen after everyone else has gone to bed. Going out alone or on unexpected food runs. And wanting to eat in privacy. Eating unusually large amounts of food, you know, like a whole meal, you know, that a family of four would eat, as opposed to just one
serving. And it doesn't look like you're gaining any of the weight.
Right. If you're eating this amount and you're not gaining, you know, weight, you're not overweight necessarily. Disappearance of food, empty food wrappers, food containers in the garbage. That's where, you know, you might recognize it in a family member, a friend, that there's empty packages and empty containers, and you're like, gee, I didn't see them eating that. I don't know where that came from. Alternating between overeating and fasting. Like you said, you eat this tremendous amount of food, you purge, and you have this cycle where now you're fasting and you're not eating.
Right. I remember that show. Ann and I always enjoyed this show. I don't think it's on the air. No, it's not on the air anymore. It used to be Man versus Food. And what it would be is that Adam, I forget his last name, he was the one, but he would consume a tremendous amount of food at some sitting. And that's what is all these like little contests if you can consume it. Anyway, it started to get the best of him, okay? Even though, because he was doing it weekly. I know we can talk about what I did on my birthday on Saturday, but that's one time and I haven't done anything since then. But the idea is that it did eventually catch up to him, and now he's very slim and stuff like that, and it's not like the best thing in the world to do with that. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we will go over some of the myths and facts and myths about people with eating disorders. You're listening to Health Matters.
ANC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is Walt Baby Love. I'd like you to join me for Gospel Tracks Sunday on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. That's Gospel Tracks every Sunday at 6 a.m. for praise and worship with yours truly, Walt Baby Love.
Hi, this is Lorraine on the Tuesday Roundtable. We're going to talk about things that affect you here in Orange County. This show is going to continue to be your forum for that discussion. So don't forget Tuesdays, 9 a.m. here on WTBQ, 1110 a.m. and 93.5 FM.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
Okay, and I hope you are feeling all right. The nurses are in. I like that, Ann. Am I allowed to say that? Am I stealing that from someone?
I don't know. You might want to ask
I still have this fear about John Tesh's attorneys calling me up and saying, you know, you used his joke that he said on the show last Thursday night or something like that.
And, oh, goodness.
You know, those are the things that keep me awake at night.
When I'm doing that.
But the nurses are in, and that's it. But this Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare. And as I've been saying throughout the program, I'm joined here by my wife, Ann Foes, Regional Director of Patient Service, as well as in charge of quality assurance at A&T Healthcare. I said, we are a home healthcare agency, and always remember that if you ever are hospitalized and you have to be discharged, you can always request A&T Healthcare to provide the care. We provide care, as I said. I'm one of the trainers as far as the director of education, and it always is important to the recovery cycle when you're discharged from a hospital is that you have that good outcome, and many times it really is attributed to the home healthcare care that you are actually receiving, because they make sure that proper follow-up is continued. They're monitoring if there's any problems that may be happening, and that's what's always important, and that's why we're here. We're part of the community. We're always available. And if you have any questions, always give us a call. We have the calls throughout the Hudson. Just go on online, A&T Healthcare. As I said before, it's not AT&T, it's A&T. All right, well, today's show, we were talking about eating disorder, February's Eating Disorder Month, and we talked about the two major ones, which was bulimia nervosa as well as anorexia nervosa. And there is a lot of misinformation and distorted facts about eating disorders, and we just wanted to go over a couple of them. And why don't you start? Myth, go ahead.
Myth. You can tell if someone has an eating disorder simply by looking at them. Peter, what's the fact?
The fact is that individuals with eating disorders come in all shapes and sizes. And many times, they don't have any kind of dramatic thing where they're emaciated or very thin. The reality is that it can be very subtle sometimes when someone does have something like that. But you don't just have to look at them and think, gee, they have to be totally thin or only weighing like 80 or 100 pounds that they would have something like that.
Hmm.
Okay.
Eating disorders are caused by photoshopped images in the media.
Okay, that was always one of the talks that we were saying, Ann, about people view this. They say this is healthy. You know, many people that are exposed to the media and altered images on a daily basis, but there's only saying that it's only a small percentage of them that say, gee, this is what I want to look like. I want to look like this particular person and all that. I always get annoyed when they talk about someone if they've gained weight. Like even Kelly Clarkson, she was one that had eating disorder. And I know, who's the one from Cheers, Ann, that she was in Dancing with the Stars.
Kirstie Alley,
yes. There was talk about, oh, geez, so-and-so gained weight or so-and-so did this. I think there was a time even with Britney Spears, so...
I can think of a lot of them.
There are a lot more, and I'm saying, gee, I don't think she gained weight or something like that.
Well, you have to meet their image, I
That's
guess.
Right, yeah.
Well, they have to have something to talk about. men don't get eating disorders.
Well, that's not true. They're saying at least one out of every 10 people with an eating disorder is a male. In fact, there's certain diagnostic categories like binge eating disorder. Men represent as many as 40% of those affected. And that's why I said earlier about Elton John had been afflicted with that. And also, Randy Quaid also did have an eating disorder.
Most people of high socioeconomic status get eating disorders.
Well, that's not true. It's true of when we say that's not true, but what I'm saying, it's true of many other addictions, is that they don't look at one particular group, be it a gambling addiction, substance abuse addiction. It goes through the whole spectrum. It has nothing to do with how much money you're making that, oh, if you're very wealthy, you're able to take care of something like that.
This is a big myth. Eating disorders are a lifestyle choice. Someone can choose to stop having an eating disorder.
Boy, I hear this so often, is that people think, you know, a lot of times this is true of any kind of mental illness. And that's one of the things that we want to bring to the forefront, is that a mental illness is a very serious thing. And we did say that there are components of this that are highly, has to do with the person's psyche and how their self-image is. And that's something that it's not that easy that they can control and they can just stop it.
They can't stop having an eating disorder, but they can choose to pursue recovery.
Right. And that's
two different things.
Yes, and that's something that I always say is that it's just important that you remember that mental health is very important, and if it afflicts someone, and there's more to it than that, and that's not something that you can just like shrug off. Oh, well, this is what they're choosing to do. That isn't always the case. Same with like alcohol addiction. You know, they say, right. Oh, gee, well, he's just choosing to drink too much. But what happens is that there is that physical component that is tied into it.
Purging is an effective way to lose weight.
Well, I think I've already educated everyone on that. Just saying, in terms of that. It really does in that doing something like that, you might lose maybe 50% of the calories, but if you already consume maybe four times your normal amount, then you really haven't lost that many calories. And as I said, it's something after a while that causes a lot more damage. I know with your teeth, I think Diane Keaton had done that. She said her teeth just rotted because of the acidity that's present. And but as I said, this is something that's not going to do it. I know I did say earlier about Elton John saying that, I did not have any hunger. I didn't have any hunger in that sort of stuff. But really, that isn't actually it. Let's do the last one, Anne, about the last one on recovery.
Recovery from eating disorders is rare.
Okay, that is the myth. The fact is, there's a whole list of actors and actresses that had, at some time in their life, they were affected by an eating disorder. And the idea is that recovery, it can be challenging, but it certainly is absolutely positive. It may take an extended period of time, okay? It may take a long period of time, but people do recover and they go on to live their life free from this eating disorder. But it's just like astounding, the people that had this kind of eating disorder. And even wherever they see it, they always list Oprah Winfrey in it. And she has like a non-specific kind of weight disorder where she's always gaining weight and losing it. You talk about like the yo-yo diets and stuff like that. I know now she's the
probably a little different.
Right. Now she's the spokesperson for Weight Watchers. And
you mentioned a lot of actors, actresses, people in the media that this is affected, but this affects regular everyday people too. Children, families, women, men. Married people, single people.
Yeah, no, and we've said that about different professions, even modeling and stuff like that. I think they're taking it to too much of an
extreme. Just our young sports, amateur sports, teen sports.
Yeah, gymnasts, and that's what we said with athletes and even professional athletes to a certain extent. But the idea is that like you wouldn't realize it. Even dancers, I think they said that was the other profession. I guess if you have to be a ballet dancer or light on your feet or things like that.
But it can affect the everyday teenager as well who's trying to fit in with the crowd or keep up with their friends or want to look like that model in the magazine.
And the idea is
that we have to keep that in mind and noticing these symptoms are important.
Okay, and that's what's important. That's what health matters is, because your health does matter. Always pay attention to this. If you see someone that you think may have something like that, although it's not, can't really be spotted, it is important because there are a lot of serious consequences that can happen. All right, Ian, I don't know where the time's going. It's going, okay? But this
okay.
is this is Health Matters, and as we've been saying throughout the show, okay, we're a home healthcare agency, and as I said, people think, I don't need home healthcare, but the reality is that sometime you might be
needing
home
care. That's
right,
and we'd like you to think of us at the A&T Healthcare. You can always call for information. We are in the community. We do participate in many activities. We're going to be part of a job fair very soon.
Yes,
we'll
yes,
be
yes.
talking about that in the near future. We do have a PCA class mm-hmm. that's starting next month.
Yes, yes.
In our Newburg branch, which mm-hmm. isn't that far away from here.
Right, right.
You
right
can on, of call course. Natalia or Kelly at 561-7900 for further information. If you have any if you're looking for any information about home health care and what it might be able to do for you, you can call that office as well, or our main office at 638-4342. Go on our website at anthealthcare.com, and that information is also there.
And that's great. All right, so listen, remember, stay healthy, because your health does matter. And to you, your family, and friends, all the best. And we'll see you next week, okay? You're listening to Health Matters next Thursday at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then. All the best.